We are recording.
Hello!
It's recording.
Hi.
Oh my gosh.
Recording.
It's like the stuff is being recorded.
This is a podcast.
Is it a podcast?
We play Dungeons & Dragons with
this
each other.
This is the Woo! New core podcast.
Yeah.
This is a podcast for friends, that we are all friends.
All friends. Everyone's friends.
Best of friends.
I thought it was slam poetry.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a very special episode of Make Believe Heroes. I am Paul. I'm your dungeon master tonight for this extra, extra special edition of Make Believe.
Read all about it!
Champions.
Double extra.
And tonight, for the third and final leg of the adventure, I'm joined by a few pals of mine.
Hey, guys, it's Jeremy, and I play Sylvester.
Hey, I'm Felicia, and I play Marlo Windstream.
Hi, I'm Brady, and I play Thalandor.
Boop, boop, boop.
Frostheart.
There it is.
Hey, I'm Chaz, and I play Cato Russell.
I'm James.
Is this an
and
action?
I play Timber Truebrook.
Truebrook.
I'm James.
I'm Luke, and I play Hal Mack McCain.
Mm-hmm. Also known as...
Hal Beck.
Zapinmuth.
We've got some dungeons and some dragons to get to tonight. Are you guys ready to find out what happens next?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Please.
Let's get into Vinraya destroying us.
This is your one opportunity to bail before you find out what really happens.
Okay.
Let's get real.
You got quiet.
I almost hung up.
I was like, oh, crap.
Just click.
What if we all would have hung up? Yeah. Paul would have just left.
Yeah. This is the session, the chapter of the story where we find out this is actually a horror campaign that we're in.
Awesome.
But before we get into the rest of this D&D, let's talk about what happened last time on Make Believe Champions. Last time, our friends, our new friends, all of them are new friends, I reckon. Marlo, Sylvester, Halmack, Cato, Timber, and Thalandor snuck their way up onto the top of a cliff face, a little ravine on the side of the Elder Mountains, where they were trying to listen in on what was going on in this conversation between a few strange figures in the fog. A large orc captain, an elvish, smooth-talking cultist, and a woman decked in green-scale armor atop a gigantic bug-like monster. Reptile, bug monster thing. But they didn't do very well at sneaking because pretty soon, I believe it was Halmack.
Who could have done that? Like, I have no
shrieked in fear, breaking all of their cover, and they found themselves in the midst of a very difficult battle. But pretty soon, the battle did come to an early end because they needed to move on and take care of some other things, leaving them behind Vinraya the Sly.
Retro.
Along with her friends. Marlo captured one of her friends as the beasts dug into the earth to escape. They questioned him, but they didn't get a lot of information. Turns out these fiends didn't know much more than our own heroes did.
They didn't know nothing.
If he did know more, you guys didn't find out because the infernal possession that had taken over our dear friend Halmack, our dear, dear, dear friend, one Zapinmuth, zapped him all the way to death. Just cooked him.
Zapped him to powder.
Zapped him poof.
Yeah, just burnt him right up, and he died. The rest of them set forth searching for the blacksmith, Leighton Tunks. Kate Eagle took to the skies with
Kate
Sylvester aboard his back as they sought their missing blacksmith, and pretty soon they did find him. They found the blacksmith. They arrived on his doorstep, but they did not find Mr. Tunks all that amenable to the idea of coming back and joining them at Branshire. That is, until Sylvester pulled out his trump card. His trump card was in the shape of a shard of power.
Yeah, girl.
From the prison of the Crooked Father.
Woo!
dun, oh boy. Dun, dun.
Yeah, yeah.
We ended last time as they said, we're going to need us a smithy. We're going to need us a forge.
A bigger boat.
And Mr. Tunks said, the best forge, the biggest forge, the biggest smithy in all of Monomi, the best one, is in my basement.
Pretty awesome.
Start ripping out floorboards.
That's not sketchy at all.
I mean, hey, have you tried the bacon yet? It's fantastic.
It is very good.
It's good bacon.
Very, very good.
We need a free smith from this basement.
Leighton Tunks steps over on the other side of the like bar, the kitchen bar where the bacon was sitting there. He goes over to the other side of the room and he opens a small wooden door. You know, I say small, it's a narrow wooden door. And you see some steps, rickety old wooden steps leading downward. He turns back over his shoulder and says, come along. If you want to see, you'll have to mind your head. And he starts down the stairs.
It's a great honor to see your forge, sir.
Well, this isn't the forge. This is just come along.
Sylvester, you take the lead. I'll stay in the back.
That is correct. You should follow orders to stay in the back.
Yes, sir.
So you all follow him down the stairs?
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, of following.
Course. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Sure.
Uh-oh. Come along, young man. We need to stick together.
Is it safe down there?
Probably not, but you should follow orders. Come with me.
Okay.
Marlo, aren't you taking up the back?
Yeah.
Okay, so you have to just be in charge of shepherding everyone in.
Doesn't take much convincing for Timber. He's down those stairs quick.
I'm poking him with the sword in the back.
Dang. We didn't roll a blue d20.
Yeah, we didn't roll a giant blue d20.
Oh, we didn't roll a giant blue d20. Well, here, let me do that real quick. We're at the top of the show. It's a good time. Here, let me roll this giant blue d20.
It's close enough.
If it's a nat 20, you're going home.
It's not. It was last time. Yeah, this time it is not.
Nat 1.
It is
nat
an 18.
Oh, ooh, my. Ooh,
that's still really good.
We're dead. Ooh.
Luke, you gonna roll against me?
9.
So you have me, but that's all right. You go down the stairs. You're all down there looking around, and what you find is a very unremarkable root cellar. It's dim. You all step down the stairs just as Mr. Tunks takes a torch from the wall, ignites it, and lights a hanging lantern from the dusty ceiling. It's a dirt floor in here. It seems like there may be some boards underneath there, but it's just dirt everywhere. This place is filthy. There are jars with roots and different types of foods and teas and things like that on the walls, but it's just a plain old, really unremarkable root cellar. And he turns and waits for you all to step inside, and it's kind of cramped in there. It's really not large enough for a group of people this size to be comfortably. You're kind of shoulder to shoulder a little bit. Well, elf. He says, "Yeah, yes."
They're both pointing at themselves.
No, you with the bow.
That's me.
Oh,
yep. Wait, yep.
The one with the large bow.
Oh, right. My gosh!
Yeah. You're gonna want to step to the side, please.
For the podcast listeners, they were just both pointing at each other.
Step to the side, please.
Steps to the side.
A little further. Just come over here and stand beside me.
Okay.
You don't want to stand where you're just standing.
I don't want to stand over there. I want to stand right here.
Yes. Thank you.
Okay.
He just kind of looks at you for a second, and then he reaches over to the shelf beside him, and he takes off a large jar of pickles.
Pickles.
Mm. He opens it, and he pulls one out, and he eats it.
I lean over to Marlo and say, I could really go for a pickle.
Well, here. I made them myself. They're spicy.
That's nice. So.
Well, I like spice.
Ooh, a spicy pickle?
I take a pickle, but I hide it from Sylvester.
May I?
Sure, yeah. Everyone, help yourselves, you know.
Thank you so much for your hospitality.
Oh, yeah, certainly. And he
takes a big bite out of the pickle.
It's spicy. It's like a good level of spice, so it's not too spicy.
Sheds a single tear.
I'm not sure what's going on here.
Delicious.
It's great.
Halmac does not eat a pickle.
Lighten up, Sylvester. He reaches over behind where the pickle was, and he kind of reaches way down with his elbow. It's kind of hard to... there it is. Found it. And you hear a click. And then you feel the floor shift. And you all sort of like turn, like you're on a dial. And the very spot where Timber was just standing a moment ago opens up, and it begins to cascade down like a staircase as the thing turns like a dial. and all the dirt that was sitting up here just kind of slips down into the, starts sliding down into the hole. Not all the dirt, but just like a bunch of it falls down in. And the mechanism goes on for a minute, like cogs turning beneath your feet, and then it stops with a thunk. Ah.
Timber looks down the hole and goes, oh, that would have been an interesting fall.
Well, there's some stairs. You'd have just tumbled for a while, but it's better that you don't.
You would have died.
Yeah.
If you'd like to follow me, I'll take you now to the real forge, the actual forge, because obviously this is no forge.
I would love that.
Hmm.
Sylvester is...
lead the way.
All about it. Let's go.
When was the last time this was opened?
Well, it's been a while, to be honest. I've been spending a bit more time in, you know, meditation, thinking, working on my my tea, cooking.
Ooh.
Anyway, none of that's important. Let's go on. We gotta get a leg on. I want to check out this thing. And he takes off down the stairs. You all follow him?
Yes.
Yep.
Naturally.
Yep.
You follow him.
Marlo's staying kind of in the back.
Can I perception check as we go down the steps?
For sure. You can, but I'll just tell you, you're listening, you're looking, and as you go down the stairs, what you find is you are in a very enclosed stone tunnel staircase.
Right, Ro.
There's almost nothing to see or perceive yet, but if you hold on a second, maybe you can perceive something.
Okay.
Because it's not too far down. I mean, it's not a ridiculous way down, just a, you know, probably 15, 20 second descent down these stairs, and you come to a flat stone walkway that is going through a tunnel. The tunnel seems to be going off to the north from the direction that you're standing in, as far as you can tell. And once you all get to the bottom, of course, Mr. Tunks waits there for you, but he turns and motions, says, come along. And he starts walking down the tunnel.
That was a pretty quick 15 to 20 second descent down those stairs.
Well.
Come on, good soldiers. Let's follow the man.
Yes, sir.
Let's go. Let's go.
As you're walking down the tunnel, he's got a torch in his hand leading the way. And you see there are small braziers hanging on the tunnel walls. And as he passes by them, they seem to light themselves. They shine with a kind of golden, kind of amberish light.
I was going to say, as we're going... can I, since we're like down underground, can I kind of do perception and see if I hear anything like coming toward us? Like,
let's hold your perception here in a second. Both you and Sylvester can do a perception
okay.
If you want. Okay.
Okay.
Where you're at right now, you are in a stone tunnel and you see as Layton steps out, you all see there's an opening ahead, and as he steps out of it, he steps out onto a, I guess you call it like a bridge. It's a continued forward walkway. It's probably 15 feet across, and suddenly large braziers hanging from a stone ceiling light, and they shed an ample amount of light over this enormous cavern. You can see as you're walking forward toward it, it's just like a slight descent, the pathway that leads down to the actual forge area. But all around it, it's just open chasm, like 100 feet down, just a giant.
Nice.
It seems to be suspended, or there. You can see if you look off from the side, you can see there's like a pillar coming up and holding the base up of this thing. But it almost seems to defy the laws of physics. Like, it is a very impressive thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the bottom of the forge itself, it's like a giant, it's almost shaped like a giant bowl, like a giant semisphere, flat on the top.
Mm.
So, as you all are, you just kind of get a quick glimpse of this as you guys are walking down toward it. And Layton does not stop. In fact, he gets a little bit more pep in his step now that he's in the open air of the chasm and he's heading forward. You all come up onto the forge itself, and he hops over toward the middle, walking that way. And there's sort of like almost like a cross-like shape, like that separates it into four equal parts, four quadrants, you could say.
Quadrant.
And in the center of the giant stone platform, there is like a table. It's like a big white stone table, but in the middle of it, there is an enormous mechanism. Does anybody have any proficiencies in blacksmithing or anything like that?
Nope.
Kind of.
Okay.
Like smith's tools.
Why don't you give me an intelligence check there?
All right.
All of us?
No, your boy. Halmak. And while he's doing that, why don't Marlo, you, and Sylvester go ahead and give me those perception checks.
What kind of check you said?
Intelligence. Intelligentsia.
All right. With my plus 7, that's a 21.
Okay. So you recognize it. It is a very sophisticated and actually impressively large type of press that would be used to press like molds for weapons or armor or anything like that. It's the sort of thing that you would only see in like very sophisticated smithies and forges. So you can tell this guy's kind of got anything you possibly want for smithing. And it's probably the biggest one you've ever seen, or, well, maybe you haven't seen that many, but it's as big as any that you've ever read about.
Sir, this is the, I believe, the greatest forge in Monumi.
Oh, boy.
Well, I did tell you that, lad. I'm pretty sure I said. Yeah, I know. I'm aware.
Marlo's, like, looking around and kind of, like, she's taking it all in, but she's kind of looking around, and I rolled a nat 1, so,
nice.
She's just kind of looking around, but well, she can't no, really...
You know, your legs aren't going to break out from under you or anything, but you're overwhelmed and not really picking up on anything. So, what about Sylvester?
Let's see about Sylvester. That's a whopping 14.
Hey.
Okay. You see what I've described?
Oh,
you see
yeah,
what I've been
boy.
Describing. You see the press. And Sylvester?
I'm not surprised. This is exactly what I expected.
Yeah. Well, come along. Come on. And he goes up to the table, and there are pretty much anything you could imagine in terms of smith's tools and things like that all around. He begins going, and things are kind of a mess. Not like in just like junk kind of mess, but just things everywhere. To you, it seems like chaos, but to him, it's definitely a structured chaos because he knows exactly where to go to find what he's looking for. He begins to like, he gets a little stone slab. He sits it there and he kind of wipes it down with like an oiled cloth. And then he takes a pair of tongs and he takes a little small peen hammer in his hand. And he takes the shard that you gave him and he lays it out. He starts to look at it and he says, So let me ask you a question, Sylvester.
Ask away.
What sort of weapon would your lord like made from this shard of power?
That's a difficult question to answer.
Like, what's the options?
It is very small. In my opinion, the most effective that you could probably get out of this would be either a spear or a single piece of artillery, an arrow.
I think your best option would be the tip of a spear. We can design the weapons that can fire a spear like an arrow, whereas an arrow can only be fired from a bow. I think the best option here is a spear.
I see.
More versatile.
Well, in that case, let me get started. I think I'll make a housing for this, because really what we want is we want the very tip, the sharpest point of this blade on a spear. The head of the spear to exude the power of this strange ore, if an ore you could call it at all. But I think I can do that. Just give me, I just need a little bit of time, all right?
All right, well, you know, we could be under attack very soon, so.
Yeah, I was wondering that too. Couldn't we hear them coming or something like that?
You heard a shriek outside earlier. Something.
Yeah.
As Sylvester is saying that, and you guys are just kind of still looking around, still kind of figuring out, like, hey, this place is pretty crazy. You know what I mean? Like, wow, look at this place. Have you ever seen anything like this?
Wow, look at this place. Have you ever seen anything like this?
I've never seen anything like this. It's pretty fantastic.
I've never seen anything.
I'm amazed.
I have definitely seen something just like this before.
Of course you have.
Well, I would love to see where that forge is. I've seen a few smaller forges, but nothing as grand as this.
As this is happening, Marlo and Thalandor, the two of you with your very high passive perceptions, you notice something. Just something almost like a buzzing in your ear that kind of just gets your attention.
Marlo, I notice a buzzing in my ear.
No, come on.
Alan is here.
Do you hear that?
And it seems to be coming from like off to the southern end of this chasm. You can just almost sort of hear it, and it sounds like a low rumbling.
Does anybody hear that?
I hear it, and I pull out my short sword.
What does it sound like to you?
I don't hear anything.
Like a buzzing?
I draw my bow.
I'm not sure if I hear it yet.
You don't hear it? I can swear there's this like low rumbling happening like in the back of my head.
Well, there could be. There's like some machinery that runs things down below us here. Actually, it's kind of crazy. This forge actually is, well, I don't want to brag, but it's pretty cool. I'll show you how it works here in just a moment. Let me just, but it gets cut off by the sound of rocks busting out the southern end wall and crawling out of it like a swarm of insects.
Oh, no.
Come a number of these strange insectile reptilian beasts with their riders on their back.
Not these guys again.
Doesn't look like machinery to me.
We used to be friends.
The largest crawls out and its carapace opens up, and riding on its back is that green armored woman.
It's a green lizard.
Battle positions.
Phew. I must say, I much rather prefer travel above ground.
Personally, I prefer the air.
Shing. My swords are out. I'm ready to fight.
Bow drawn.
What's Layton doing? Like, what's he saying whenever he sees...
Right now, he has like a pair of goggles on, and he's like leaned over the table looking at the little shard as he was talking. And he's still talking.
I knock him on the back.
What is it?
This is who we were talking about. It's time.
He sits his tongs and his little hammer down. He says, great. Just when things were getting interesting.
We're not connected by the mind anymore, are we?
Yeah, I think you guys still have to.
Must be nice.
I'm going to say to Sylvester, we need to protect that shard. If I can, I'm going to run up like kind of in between our group and their group. Not like up on them, but I want to get like in the distance. I just want to be between them and us.
This thing is, it's large, okay? So just to give you an idea, it's 150 feet across, basically.
Nice.
One's over there.
Okay.
So they're, but I will say this, the moment they come out the side, they are like, and she says that they're going to hunker down and spring leap across, and these little wings pop out of their back, and they can't like fly, but they flutter down over to where you guys are.
Sick.
Really hate bugs.
Great. Why are you coming in here? You're not welcome. We have some business to take care of if you'd like to see yourselves out. And Vinrea, when they land, she hops down off of her very large kitty, and she gives it a little brush on the neck, and she draws a very wicked-looking curved sword. It's like it's somewhere between a sword and a dagger. Think like Sting, but the blade is like swirled, like swerving, you know what I'm saying? Like serpentine.
Yeah.
That's sly.
That's awesome.
It's green and black. She just kind of like waves it around in front of her, like admiring it for a second, and she says, I'm sorry to interrupt and to impose. Forgive us. We certainly didn't mean to do that. I mean, we just have some business we need to discuss. We need you to come with us, Mr. Tunks, is it?
Ma'am, I'm sorry, but I don't think he's going to be going anywhere anytime soon. We tried our best, so...
I don't believe that you want to fight us. I don't understand why you're trying to interfere.
Stand down.
Such an impressive figure.
I'm pointing at them saying that, stand down.
Yeah, the two halflings yelling at the lady with the wicked blades.
I ain't scared of the wicked blade lady.
If we could settle this peacefully.
Yes, stand down or face our wrath.
Face your wrath, my goodness.
I look at everyone, I'm like, I don't know if I actually have wrath.
I don't know who you should have said that.
Wrath?
Nature's wrath. We'll go with that.
My goodness. Did you hear what the Genasi said to us, Lunk?
Yeah, I heard him. You know, I never had one of him before. I wonder if they taste like chicken.
Gonna have to go through me first.
We could all talk this out.
I've had halflings before, and they do taste just like pork chickens.
Hey, Halmac, I think your friend should come out.
I could... It'd take about an hour, but I could summon a familiar if you'd like.
not that friend.
No. I'm sorry, we don't have that sort of time. You see, we just want to talk. We just come to talk.
Yes. Let's talk it out.
Yes.
All right, then. Put your sword up, and we'll have a conversation. I don't want to understand why you are trying to interfere with our operation.
Do any of you know who I am?
Someone who is a very reasonable person.
We know who you are.
Well, then, if you know who I am, then certainly you know what I'm capable of.
Talking it out.
We're not afraid of you.
Well, then you must not know who I am.
This is not the right place to have this conversation.
Goodness, Vinrea, please. We have business, and it's not with you. He reaches over onto the table, and he picks up this really crappy-looking warhammer. This like it's actually like half blacksmith's hammer, but it's got a spike on the other side. And it's like very, very... I mean, it looks like the head of this thing is probably about twice as large as any smithing hammer, like in terms of like a large sledge you've ever seen. He just tosses over his left shoulder. He kind of cracks his back. He reaches up. Where is that stupid thing? And he's reaching up under the table. He's like sliding his hand across it. There it is. And he pulls a lever. And you hear a click. Tons of mechanisms suddenly start turning beneath your feet. Those long, like, the sort of like cross-like shape that's carved into the floor that you notice, they were a little bit beveled out running toward the north, south, east, and west of the forge. From around them, cracks form in the stone floor, and they begin to roll back. And as they do, the entire forge itself, in a sense, comes alive. Not alive, alive, but it all starts moving and turning, and steaming, burning, molten hot lava is felt beneath your feet.
What? Oh my. Now, Vinrea, you see what you've done here. You know better than to be acting this way. You've done what made it mad.
Within moments, steaming hot magma is beneath your feet, and Leighton Tunks hops up on top.
Don't fall.
Hops up on top of the table. I don't see him out here. I need to get one for him, too, apparently. And he wields the hammer over his shoulder. He kind of takes the hammer off of his shoulder, pops it down, and says, "Well, sister, you've interrupted me when I was finally having some fun."
Oh, snap.
See, I told you it was a bad idea.
Did he just say sister?
He say sister?
You're related. Okay. Wait. If that's Vinrea, then...
Ooh.
Kato's just, like, gears are turning.
Who are you?
Let's roll initiative.
All right, let's go.
Oh, no.
Initiative.
Hey, question.
Yo.
What would Halmak getting knocked out, would that incur him to transform?
Are you this knocking is... Halmak out?
Just out of curiosity.
Possibly.
I'm just curious. Okay, just curious.
Hypothetically speaking.
Hey, the lava is not difficult terrain. It's deadly terrain.
It's death. It's don't step in
okay,
there.
Okay.
It's about a 10-foot drop to the lava. That is a ledge. There is no fencing. It is easy to fall. And just for record, I mean, you guys probably have access to the ruler, but like this thing right here is 75 foot across that way. Y'all initiatized?
Yes.
Yeah, I got a whopping 6 on my first roll.
Got a 13.
Oh, I got a 7.
9.
9?
9.
9.
A whole 7.
7.
19.
21.
So the first person who's going to get a chance to go is...
Your mom.
Not me.
Marlo.
Get him, Marlo.
Get him.
Oh, man. What do I do?
Wreck him.
You're just over 5 feet away from him. So you would have to be one more down to be within 5 feet.
Jace.
You have to be there.
That's easy.
If you're going to use a ranged weapon...
You could also use your bonus action to dash and move twice your speed.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'll do that. I'll just go down here and hit this first flinkle. Okay, so 18 to hit.
Okay, that's a hit.
And that is with my short sword of wounding.
Okay.
Doesn't really help me, but it's a cool name, sword. It's a 1d6 plus 4 damage. 7 damage on that.
Damage.
Okay, 7 damage.
And you throw it into the fire.
I grapple it and jump into the fire with it.
Dang.
Oh, wait, I can't do that. Then I'll die.
All right. You hit him for 7 damage. He's not a big fan of that.
That's all I can do, so I'm good.
Okay. Next person in the initiative order is Vinrea.
Great.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Yeah, girl.
Bites your head off.
Vinrea is going to, taking that wicked little sword in her hand, she is going to make an attack.
On the closest person to her.
Yeah, the one she's going to... It's a 28 to hit.
That hits.
She steps up and she's going to swing at you, Marlo.
Ooh.
And you're going to take 1d6. You take 8 slashing damage. Actually, it'd be piercing. 8 piercing damage from this. She stabs it at you.
How much poison?
Make me a constitution saving throw.
Oh, yep.
Ben Reagan, I'm warning you, you do not want to do that.
Okay, a 4.
So you take 19 poison damage on top of that.
Oh!
Ooh, ouch. Oh,
my goodness.
Jump into the fire.
I grapple her and jump into the fire.
Hello. I tried to tell you that we didn't have to do all of this, but you didn't want to listen to me. Now, if you would, get out of my way. And I need you to make me a strength saving throw.
Oh, no.
Oh. She gonna push you.
This is only gonna get worse for you, Vinraya.
13.
Hmm.
Not good.
I feel like that's probably not enough.
Am I about to sing In the Arms of an Angel?
In the arms of... Well, she does beat you.
No, not yet.
So she grabs a hold of you, and she slings you this way.
Into the fire.
Marlo, no!
That is not very cash money of her.
Don't fall.
I'm going to give you an opportunity to make a dexterity saving throw.
Oh, no.
See if you can...
Flippity doodah day, man.
Oh, no.
Okay.
Right into her army's arms.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
What is it?
18.
That's pretty good.
Okay, with an 18, you can get one hand on right there on the ledge. And like I told you, it's about 10 feet down to the actual lava. So you are now dangling over it.
Hanging off the side into lava.
You are happy. Oh no. Your feet are toasting. Okay.
This floor is lava.
Okay.
That's awesome.
Halmac. It's your turn.
That is awesome. Okay.
Oh. We're going to have to help Marlo out.
Yep.
Thalandor really wants to deck Halmac. Just try to knock him out. I know it's not my turn, but that's what he wants to do.
This is going to go well.
Mm-hmm.
This is awesome.
Wait, is Marlo in the lava? Did I miss something?
She's holding onto the edge.
Oh, okay.
It's always been my dream.
Has our blacksmith friend revealed his true nature yet, or no?
It's not anything. He's got a hammer in his hand.
No.
True nature, he just seems like a blacksmith.
It's about to be hammer time.
He did say sister.
Yeah,
so.
He called her a sister.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Since we know that Vinraya is Vinraya.
Vinraya is
that she's a Draco Kelly.
Draco Kelly. Then we're like...
A light bulb has appeared above his head.
Ding!
Halmac leans over and says, Sir, if there's anything I can do to... I'm not really the fighting type, but I do have some smithing experience. If there's anything I could do to help you here.
What do you mean? You want to work on this while I'm doing this?
Well, if it would be of any help, I would just... Yes.
Don't you have any spells or anything you could fire over there?
I have a... He rummages through his pockets, and he's like, this wand detects magic.
You have any anything that can push anything?
No.
Knock him out.
How back?
No.
Why are you here again?
Tuition.
No. Why did they bring you?
Fat stacks.
Why did they bring you here? How did you get?
No idea.
He's also possessed by a demon.
I say we just have him knock himself out.
Knock him out. Why would I knock him out?
Just trust us.
Trust.
All right. He reaches over and he bonks on the top of the head with his giant hammer.
Yes! Yes!
Yes!
Halandor is satisfied.
Do you want to make a save or do you want to just go down? What's going to happen here?
I should probably just go down.
That's up to you. I'm leaving it in your hand. We're going to up to you.
This is hilarious.
Okay. All right.
We're under attack. Knock me out, bro.
Please hit me in the head. In our heads to Sylvester, Marlo hanging there.
Mm-hmm.
Don't worry about me, but make sure they don't get to Leighton Tunks. Stay away from the lava pits. I'll be fine.
I'm your commanding officer, and I think that we're going to keep you from falling in the lava, my dear.
So, for Halmac's turn, going into his funny state,
mm-hmm.
bonus action.
Okay.
So, can we say he does that?
Sure.
Okay, so... Halmac falls to the floor, as before. Static electricity around him. He gets back up and says, "Ah, so soon. What do you fools want this time?"
Oh.
"Hello, you maniac. We're glad you're back. You see those people over that way? Good luck. They said they want to kill you."
You are different.
Get them.
Show me what you got.
"Well, I have something that could help with this."
And For his action, fourth level spell, summon greater demon.
Oh boy.
This is ridiculous.
Okay.
If it lands on me while I'm in the lava pit,
rock.
I'm leaving.
What are you doing here, my boy? What are you doing?
That is a good question.
You should summon this guy named, he likes cigars, collected ears.
That's definitely not a greater demon.
He is a devil.
I don't think he's a demon.
Oh, a greater demon.
Moving up in the world.
What are you trying to do? What exactly are you trying to do, Luke? What are you trying to do here?
Summon Sarastis.
Oh, girl.
Yo, he's kind of dead.
Just looking. I'm debating between two.
Okay.
Say the name Sarastis.
A Barlgura or a Tanaruk?
I think you should summon a char.
Bro.
Oh, man.
Just summons char.
I summon char. What
do you want?
Quick, call him up. Get him on.
Has him on speed dial.
What was the Tanner one?
A Tanaruk.
I don't know anything about that one. I know Balaguras are pretty beefy, though.
Yep.
Well, the time is now. Now is the time.
Yeah, I'll go Barlgura.
So you're going to summon one here?
Yeah, probably.
Oh, okay.
Where at?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, okay.
Please don't land it on me.
This is going to backfire.
Yep.
Yeah.
100%.
Oh, yeah.
100%.
Yeah. Well, what's the size on this guy? He's large.
Yes, he is.
Send him after Kitty.
Oh, there he is. He's a big old boy.
Oh, no.
Oh, my goodness.
He's a big old boy.
Where do you want him? You can control and put him where you want him.
Yeah, within 60 feet. So he'll be... How close can I get for 60 feet? Let's see.
Right in front of Inria.
60 feet?
Aye, aye, aye.
Drop him right in front of her.
Yeah, do it.
Kill the kitty.
Get wild, yeah.
I mean, I guess this would be the only spot.
That'd be the best place.
Yeah. Really fit.
Do it.
Yeah. Okay.
Do it.
Sort of a fissure appears in the ground, and he claws his way out of it.
Oh, snap. So another magma-y fissure appears out of the ground. And crawling up out of it is a strange, enormous, gorilla-looking demon. His fur is smoldering, and it's cracked like molten magma. His eyes are burning with a hot red flame, and he lets out a bellowing roar.
Get it, girl.
All right.
Nice.
Now, my question is, how does this work? He rolls initiative. He has its own turns when you summon it. I'm just going to let him go after your turn.
Okay. Well, then that would be my turn over.
You can issue a verbal command telling it what it must do. At the end of each of its turns, it makes a saving throw.
Uh-huh.
On a failed save, it continues to obey. On successful, it takes control of itself, and it spends its turn pursuing and attacking the nearest non-demons to the best of its ability.
Excuse me?
Okay.
But you can stop concentration to send it back, right?
When I stop concentration, I think it stays for a little bit.
An uncontrolled demon does this for 1d6 rounds.
I would rather him not kill me.
So,
okay.
This is a question.
Yeah.
Zap, being a demon himself,
mm-hmm.
would he know this thing's true name?
Give me a check. Give me a history check.
You got $5.
Oh.
I've never played in a game with demons before. Mm. This is new to me.
Mm.
Oh, buddy.
I feel like I need to repent.
Mm. You can do some wild stuff.
Hey, knock everybody out. Maybe we can all can do that.
Actually, not too bad. It's a 17.
I'm going to say you do not know its true name with 17.
Oh, no.
Inspiration?
Fortunately, I set this at an 18.
Oh, so close.
Oh, my. Inspiration?
That's up to you. You can go for it if you want to. You can spend your inspiration if you want.
Let's do it.
All right. You need an 18.
Okay. So, 24.
Okay, that'll do it. So you know his true name. Exactly. And he, you see his, all the fiery fur, stand on edge.
Go and destroy these creatures. And he just points at them.
Mm-hmm.
He is definitely going to first make a bite attack at Maria.
Mm-hmm.
And that is... So let's get out a fun dice for this guy. There we go. Oh, it's not a very fun die. It's only a 10 to hit.
Mm.
Wait, 10. He has advantage on his attacks because he does that.
That's true.
Ah, that's better. 24 to hit.
Okay, on Vinraya, that is a hit.
All right.
Is that the bite?
Yes.
2d6 plus 4.
All right, 14 damage, piercing damage.
Yes.
Okay.
Get her.
Very nice.
And then he is going to make a fist attack at her as well.
Okay.
Natural 20.
Oh, baby.
Yeah. Yeah.
2d10 plus 4.
Nice.
Oh, man. Well, that's 11 damage.
Okay. 11 blood.
Boom.
And then he's going to punch the Kithric.
Okay.
Blanco.
This is the first one, right?
Yeah, the one right next to him.
Mm-hmm.
And that is 17 to hit.
That is a miss, unfortunately.
Ooh, dang.
That's hard, man.
That's not good.
Say it might hit, but it does not seem to affect him. It just kind of hits his hard scaled back.
All right.
Is it the end of that guy's turn?
I believe so.
Okay. That means it is now Kato's turn.
All right. I've been pondering on what to do here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think what Kato's going to do is he brings out his U wand and...
Okay.
Cast fly on Marlo.
I wish. I don't have fly.
I wish I could
cast fly at a distance, but I can't. So I'll do the next best thing I can do to, shall we say, stir up the situation. As Kato gives his wand a little spin, little like rivulets of like dust, dirt start swirling around the feet of some of the creatures, and about a 5 foot. Tall dust devil appears as I cast dust devil at fourth level. So
okay,
that'll be fun. I'm gonna drop it.
Lots of devils
in between, like those four creatures.
Gotcha.
So nothing happens immediately, but if a creature ends its turn there,
do they take damage if they start their turn there?
If they end their turn,
yeah,
there, right?
Any creature that ends its turn within 5 feet of the dust devil must make a strength save. On a fail, the creature, they take bludgeoning damage and are pushed 10 feet away. On a success, they take half as much and aren't pushed.
Mm-hmm.
And on my turns, as a bonus action, I can move it. So,
right.
Sadly, that's about all I can really do right now, except might move myself around a little bit.
Move yourself around a little bit.
Will do.
And that is actually going to make it Lunk's turn. So Lunk is going to, he sees the little devil, dust devil thing there, and he's like, I don't know what that's about. He's going to slip over here.
Oh, no.
He's got the axe in his hand, around his back.
No.
He reaches up, he pulls the gray axe off his back. He says,
I like to eat me some of that halfling, but do I kill it or eat it?
And you see him kind of look down at you for a second, Marlo, and you can see this like real, like intense look on his face, like thinking hard about what to do.
You okay up there, big fella?
Shut up! I'm thinking. It smells nice.
Look, what's the square root of pi?
You want to eat it?
Like a, all right. Maybe if you hit the lava, maybe it'd be like rose halfling.
Yeah, but then you can't get me out.
You literally see, like, saliva running down his, like, big tusks.
Oh, my.
Oh,
no.
Shoot. Just gonna have to kill you.
And he's gonna bring the great axe down towards you.
Okay.
He's coming down towards your hands.
Please tell me Marlo has at least got a second hand on the wall by now.
I mean, I feel inclined to say he's got advantage. I mean,
mm-hmm.
I mean, he is towering over her, and she's tanging for her life.
Yeah, but he is really like.
I'm not. I didn't roll. I'm not gonna roll with advantage. Yeah. I'm not gonna roll advantage.
Man, I wish I was a bard right now.
He rolled. What did he get? That's probably pretty good. Yeah.
Probably pretty good.
Natural one, and he falls in.
It's a 24.
Oh,
I have no
that's
way.
Not good.
I've looked at all my actions. I have no way to intervene.
I have no way to intervene either.
Unfortunately.
I should have
think I do either.
I could have.
Did it show up? Yeah, 14. Mm. 14 slashing damage, and I need you to make a strength saving throw.
Can I counterspell his axe?
Marlo should still have inspiration, I think.
I do.
It's true.
Don't fall in.
Don't die because of my mistakes.
I'll use my inspiration.
Okay.
I got an 8. Got a 10.
Total?
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Featherfall.
Who takes Featherfall?
Your hand slips.
Oh, no.
No. Oh, no.
One hand?
I think you're gonna have to do something.
One hand.
I have Featherfall.
Yeah.
Yeah. You is Featherfall a reaction?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Is Zap gonna use Featherfall to save this halfling?
Ah, Zap would not know. Yeah. Zap, sorry about that.
That's my question, right?
Oh my god.
One hand slips, and your arm is bleeding and dripping down and sizzling on the lava beneath you. And there's like a sort of frenzy in Lunk's eyes when he sees that, and he says,
"Oh, that smells real tasty. Oh,
choose the eater."
Yeah, and I guess your supper's about to hit the lava, so you're missing out.
Well,
if you drop her in the lava, you'll never get to eat her.
Can we all start chanting, "Eat her"?
That's all right.
Eat her.
Take a bite. Take a bite.
I'll get you out.
And he raises the axe up above his head again. But at that moment, something very large and heavy hits him right in the middle of his chest. And it's 2 feet. As a blacksmith, lumberjack.
Did he jump that far?
Well, I would say jump, but two giant brass-colored wings have burst out of his back. And so he just kind of like souped over there and just double-kicked him.
Who could have predicted this?
And he kicks Lunk off the back edge. And Lunk goes flying over.
Off of, like, into death?
Into the chasm.
Dang. Wow.
Lunk is...
into death.
There's a splash.
Yeah, do you hear him hit the lava?
There's no splash. The lava's inside the box, the bowl, the thing.
Oh, okay.
And Leighton Tunks reaches down. He grabs you by the other hand. And he pulls you up close. And he whispers, "How long are you going to keep up this charade, sister?"
Excuse me?
Wait. Rewind.
And she just like spits. I was just trying to last before all y'all.
Well, let's be done with it. And he turns and he kind of like sits you down and he lets out a roar. And he turns into a giant brass dragon.
Okay.
All right.
Get it.
You see Marlo kind of look over at the group. Mm. I guess it's time. And she just transforms into a big copper dragon.
What?
No.
Messing Kuma turns to you and he says,
"Take care of the demon."
All right. I have him.
And he hops over here and he's going to send a blast. He's just going to blast. You know what I mean?
Anyways, he started blasting.
In this direction.
He started blasting.
He's going to blast in that direction, as you can see.
"If you lay a hand on my pet, I will make sure you suffer the wrath of 10,000 bolts of lightning."
What is happening?
Zap
right now?
Is just over there running his mouth.
Listen here, Zap. You need to stand your ground. There's something going on here that you don't even understand.
Zap, those are two Dracon Kelly. I don't think you have any power over them.
They will be too dead, Dracon Kelly, if I have anything to say.
Oh my goodness!
This is not going to be good.
Tail whips him into the lava.
All this talk is going on, and in the meantime, Messing Kuma just takes a deep breath, and he blasts a fire breath in that direction toward all of those folks. And so they're all going to make some quick saves. Go ahead and make me a save for your demon, dude.
Okay.
What's his deal with fire? Is he's probably he's resistant to fire.
Yes.
Okay. So go ahead and
he's from the Burning Circle, bro.
Go ahead and give me that. I'm going to roll
what save?
Some
Dex, I'd assume.
Yeah, it's dexterity. Yeah. Sorry. Okay. It is a dexterity. I need a DC 21.
Oh my god. It was a dirty 20.
Oh, man. You just missed it.
Wow.
Let's see. So
you're going to be burnt,
that is,
boy.
That is a failure for both of the critics. And then we'll roll for the babby, too. Roll one for the babby and one for Vinraya. The first one's for the babby. The second one. Vinraya rolled a natural 20.
Ooh.
What do you know?
Of course. I mean, that makes sense.
It does. It totally makes sense.
Hey, what did she look like when... what did she look like when Messakuma and Tempari are just standing there?
She has no new expression. She's just got a smirk on her face, the same smirk she's had since she's got here. But Messing Kuma just hops over and he blasts a big fire blast. And when he does, well, I guess I should probably roll the damage. I mean,
just see how much it is.
Okay, let's see. These sixes, right? One, two, three.
Just to be interested.
58, that's not too bad.
1,000 damage.
58 fire damage.
Wow, that's a lot of damage.
That is a lot of damage.
Oh, Borlgura takes that.
Borlgura takes half of that because he's resistant.
55, you said?
It was 58. He takes half of that, so...
29.
You notice that there were three lizard insect Kruthic monsters. They're cooked.
Yes. Nice.
Venrea, when he blasts, she's there. When his fire dissipates, she's here.
What?
I don't like that.
She has appeared over on the backside of where Messing Kuma is now standing. And then you hear her speak, and she says, well... It's a regular family reunion, isn't it? Timpari, nice of you to finally get dressed or whatever you want to call it.
Yes!
Oh my goodness.
But I can't let you get in my way. I have business. I've been telling both of you. And brother, she says, turning around, looking in the other direction. Are you really going to stand in my way as well?
I have no choice but to stop you from doing exactly what you're doing.
Yes!
He's gonna shoot blue wings out of his back and transform.
No! There's so many!
What the frick is happening?
There's so many!
What the heck?
What?
Timber's just over in the corner, just like looking back and forth, like, what is happening?
Venrea, like, cracks her neck and she, like, puts her sword back in the sheath. It's been a while since we sparred like this, hasn't it? This is going to be fun.
You don't have to keep up the act.
Big, sharp green spines appear down her back. She stretches out, transforming into the live serpentine green dragon.
It is time for you to stop.
I don't think I will.
Then you leave us no choice.
She lunges at Messing Kuma, like just trying to tackle him forward into the lava ahead of you guys. She's using a legendary action, and she's going to just slam into him. Wow, I'm going to have to roll twice. The first one is Venrea, the second one is Messing Kuma. Oh, he got her. So she slams into him, but as far as pure strength goes, he has the edge on her. So he doesn't move, and they're now like grappled into combat and like lashing and clawing and biting at each other. Thalandor, what do you do?
Get out of the way! Get out of the way!
Brady's face now is just like, bro, what do you mean what I do? There's still a kitty down here and some other folks. What do you do?
This is tough. It's kind of three dragons fighting in front of me.
Yeah.
You might want to move.
You can see over on the other side, you do still have the other Kruthics, the babies, the two normal ones, and the kitty. So you've still got them over there. If you wanted to just take a firing shot at one of those.
Yeah, I think I'll do that with my short bow.
To which one?
The Kruthic 4.
Yeah, what's the range on your short bow? Is
80,
it 60 feet?
It's 80.
Oh, you're in good shape. So, number 4, go ahead and take a shot.
Hey, 21.
That's a hit.
Woo! And that is 8 damage.
Okay.
All right.
An arrow sticks into its back, and you hear that weird, like clicking, whining, weird sound coming out of it, and you see it jerk its head towards you. But you also notice they look a little unnerved now that there are four full-size dragons in the room with them. Okay, you take another shot?
I have my Psychic Blades bonus attack, which is 60-foot. And I have two Psychic Blade attacks, and they're both 60-foot range.
You could use that because they're within 60 feet of you. They're about 45 feet away.
Okay, so that's a 12.
That is a miss.
R.I.P.
Okay. Is that the end of your turn?
I think it is.
Okay. Bend over and kiss your butt. Give
I guess up. I'm just going
to
stay there.
At the end of her turn, I'm going to use end of his turn, I'm going to use a legendary action to tail attack Venreya.
Okay, do it.
Dude, I was going to tail attack the people next to me.
You can still do it.
Plus 16 to hit, and I got a 19 on the dice.
Okay.
Ha! Did you say plus 16 to hit?
35. So a 35. Just let me yep. check. Hang on, let me check.
I mean, he is Sine in the Conqueror.
Yeah, that hits.
Wow.
Yeah.
Nice. And then I get a roll 2d8.
So are you just going for damage here, or you got another goal in mind?
Well, I'm just trying to slam her down.
Okay.
Like,
so trying to kind of get you trying to pin her a little bit.
Yeah. Trying
okay.
to.
Well, yeah. Go ahead and roll me the damage, and then we'll do two more. We'll do another strength contest between the two of you.
10 plus 4, 14.
Okay, so 14 more damage. Go ahead and roll me a strength check. Or athletics. Athletics
plus
is fine.
Nine.
I mean, you're a dragon, so I think you've probably got a... Man, she's not rolling well on these strengths. I'll tell you that.
Oh, no, Thalindor.
Into the lava.
That's a 16 on the dice.
Okay. She's got a 12 total.
I win the strength.
So you can basically pin her if you want to.
I'm pinning her.
So you come up from behind her, sweep her legs with the tail, and slam her on the ground and pin her?
Yep.
Okay, she's pinned.
I do not understand why you are trying to aid the Unchained.
You do not understand everything about me, brother. I have business.
Okay, so when Tempari sees... When she sees Sinean do that,
mm-hmm.
She's going to tail attack at Kitty and Babby. I don't know how much you're going to say that the tail attack can do. I don't
Wait,
know.
Do you have... Do you have the wing attack?
I do. I just didn't want to use because it's two actions.
Yeah, but you get all your actions back
at the end
beginning
of the...
every round.
Every
you
round.
Have three legendary actions for this round.
Oh.
Yeah, I would say go ahead and use it if you want.
Okay,
to use it.
I turn.
Dragons
around.
Are cool.
Dragons are amazing.
So I turn around and face toward them.
Okay.
And
why
I'm
don't
gonna
you
try
scoot
to do the
over,
wing attack.
Why don't you scoot over like here and try to get all three of these dudes instead of just these two? Actually, you could target all of them.
I want to get all of them. I want to hit all of them.
Just scooch here. As long as you don't go more than 5 feet away, you can get all. You can try to get all five. All
okay,
four.
That's what I'm going to do then.
All right.
So that is a...
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I need to do 5 saves. The first one is going to go for Kitty. Kitty rolled... And what kind of save is it? A dexterity.
DC 23.
Dexterity. Okay, it's a failure for the kitty.
Bye, kitty.
Okay, so the big guy's going to get pushed 15 feet, so that puts him off the edge.
Yeah!
Yes!
Bye,
bye-bye.
Kitty.
Yes.
Let's
bye,
go.
Kitty.
Bye-bye.
I'm rolling one
Let's
for the
go.
Two babbies. What's the
okay.
DC?
23.
How much damage was it?
15.
Oh, they died, too. The babies died. Now I'm rolling
oh,
one
died.
For Kruthix 3 and 4.
Baby killer.
They're all gone.
That's how we get rid of the rest.
All that's left is Venreya.
What about the Dust Devil?
And the Dust Devil, and there's also a demon here.
Okay, so that means currently the only enemy in initiative is Venreya, and there's also the demon.
And Zap.
Zap is maybe an enemy.
There's a high chance he might be.
Thalindor went. Timber, it's your turn, Timber, technically in the initiative order. So do you have something, an idea, or something you'd like to do at this time?
Well, I was going to try and kill some of the other people, but they're all gone now.
Okay.
I mean, I could try and shoot Venreya because she seems aggressive. And...
It's true, but there is also a blue dragon literally like over top of her holding it down with his arms.
Right.
So.
Right.
If you shoot him, he's going to give us an F.
And I don't know if you know this or not, but they're brother and sister.
Right.
Just giving you some... You spent some time with this blue dragon. You know how his temperament is. You know, I'm just trying to help you, okay?
Yeah.
The last thing we need is for Timber to get killed by a blue dragon.
Right.
I'm not saying that Sylvester would eat anyone.
He's also not saying that he wouldn't. So...
Yep. Tempari would do whatever Sinean, so she would also eat the people.
So let me ask you a quick question. What is Zap currently doing? What's he doing in this moment?
He's getting ready to attack Vinrea.
That sounds right.
Retro.
If he's not already doing so.
So what do you want to do, Timber?
Not a whole lot that I can do. Timber's pretty amazed with what's going on. He's just kind of dumbstruck.
Okay.
He's never seen a dragon.
His jaw's on the floor.
And he sees four. He just kind of holds up his dragon bow and says, I have a bow that looks like a dragon.
Well, here's what we're going to do then. I'm going to drop the initiative order in terms of like going down through everyone. Like, we're not going to go turn by turn, by turn at this point. The last person in the initiative order would have been Sylvester. So I'm going to give Sylvester a chance now to do something if you're wanting to do something.
I don't trust Zap. So I think I'm just gonna ready like an attack. And just very carefully watch Zap.
Okay. Yeah.
If he gets aggressive to anyone on the team, then I might take a shot
at him. Keep an eye on him. Okay, I got you. Are you staying where you are?
He gonna get.
Can I see him through the forge, or do I need to?
You could see him over. He's standing on top of the table.
Okay. So I could take a shot at him.
You from where you are, you could take a shot at Zap.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. All right. Then I will stay where I'm at.
All right, Sinéan.
Listen, sister. We've played this game a few times. Don't make me use the breath weapon.
Can I move over there?
Yeah, you can move over there. Well, you know what? You do need to pay attention to the big boy.
Yeah.
And that also makes me recall he did not make a save previously.
Oh, the Barrel Girl?
Yeah. And I know he's got disadvantage, right?
Yes. That was a 14.
Okay.
He's still under control.
They're all gone. You don't have to keep up the charade.
I see a demon. Right there, she says, and she like kind of turns her head a little and points toward the demon, which is now like pointing in her direction.
Barlgura or Zap?
The Barlgura. She's not talking about Zap. She's talking about the giant flaming red one.
Ah.
And as far as I could tell, it wants to kill me.
Move out of the way, Messenkuma.
And I'm going to turn my head and blast the fire demon.
Oh, you're going to blast it?
Blast it.
Yeah, I'm going to blast it.
Messenkuma steps back.
You dare blast my god dog.
You blast it? You blast it?
And so I started blasting.
Roll me a 20, Zalku. Luke, roll me a 20 for the...
What's the save?
It's dexterity.
What's the DC?
23.
Ah, 3 under.
Mm.
That's 16 D10.
What's the damage type?
It's lightning.
Lightning.
I have resistance.
87 damage.
So,
87. I think he just took care of it.
He did care of it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Delete.
Describe that.
Blue lightning. He raises up from holding Vinrea down and just clicks his head, and his eyes start to crackle with energy. Opens that big mouth, and it's just a solid lightning bolt. It sounds like a thunder like you hear outside in the summer. And it just falls away into dust.
Zap, make me a constitution save for Halmak.
Ah, that'd be a good idea.
Or wisdom. What did we do last time? Whichever one.
Oh, that's a nat 20.
Oh, my goodness.
Ooh.
Halmak is back.
Oh, that's good.
All right.
He's back.
So with the nat 20, I'd say Halmak kind of just, like, snaps back, like, no dropping to the ground anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's good.
Whoa.
There are four dragons in front of you.
Hey, there's dragons.
He faints anyway.
Oh.
Yeah, they ate everyone else.
Yes, That Thalandor, what happened here?
I have no clue. Everyone just started sprouting wings, and now we're here.
Makes me wish.
So Vinrea kind of like squirms underneath your claws, Sinéan.
How long do you plan to hold me here exactly? I came to speak with our dear brother, Messi. Last I heard, you were staying out of it, and yet I see you over there working on something for them. Isn't that true? Yes, it is. But I don't understand why you're here, seemingly, with the enemy. What is going on?
She's been undercover.
Be careful. We might have to eat everyone in the room if someone
who shouldn't hear, hears. And he looks over at the other guys.
I would prefer not to be eaten.
No fat stacks for anybody that talks.
Uh-oh.
I would prefer not to be eaten.
Timber's still... Oh.
I very much want my fat stack, if you please.
Me too.
As this conversation is going on, arguing, suddenly you do hear... You hear a loud, like, clanging sound behind you. And drenched in sweat and slobber, hunched over, you see standing behind you all over there on the other side, crawled back up from the abyss where he was knocked down. You see the axe fall to the side, and Lunk is standing there, but he's kind of like tremoring and
crap,
trembling a little bit, and his eyes are rolled back in his head, and they are solid black.
No!
Can I shoot an arrow?
I cast Magic Missile.
You all like grab your weapons about to do something, and you hear Venrea say, oh, and this voice comes out of Lunk.
Oh.
What was chained?
Oh, no, no, no.
No, no,
will
no.
Be unleashed.
No, no, no. No,
and no. You all feel like an intense fear settle down over you. Even the dragons. Like, the dragons aren't paralyzed by it, but they feel it. Everybody else is essentially paralyzed by it for, not like for a long time, but just for a moment. Like, you're just like, you know, like it takes your breath. As the lava turns black and hard and cool on the top.
Oh, no.
And all the lights dim.
Oh. Oh, no.
You're too late, reptiles.
What's that accent?
The little trap laid by your late sister has been sprung. Even now, Venthaven, your last bastion of defense is being destroyed from within.
Is this who I think it is?
Blackfire.
Come, pet.
And Venrea squirms under your claws. Zanayan.
It is time to show where your true allegiance lies.
I'm about to throw it out.
Venrea's eyes pop open. She looks around at you all. And those close by, you can see she looks afraid. And then she squirms and shrinks and swirls in and pops out of existence.
Oh, what?
Oh, great.
Was that a spell?
No.
Dang it.
Well, it was, but it wasn't one being cast here.
Hmm. Lovely. What?
Lunk slinks into a pile of meat and bones onto the floor.
Oh.
Charming.
You just hear Tempari growl.
Messinkuma sits back on his haunches, and he looks around at all of you.
Who was that?
It's Blackfire.
It's perhaps the greatest enemy of Monumi, even greater than the War of Light.
That's why we need you.
I haven't sensed a power like that since the war, since the Crooked One.
That's his son, so...
Son?
The fifth god.
By the gods.
He's the one who killed Atonia.
Sinan's gonna fly over there and very casually squish Lunk's body to jelly.
Okay, he's toast. Poor Lunk.
I'm sorry, Sinan. I didn't realize that there may be other people listening.
Needless to say, an F is the slightest of your worries.
A little bit.
He said, your late sister.
Dimvarga.
A trap set by Dimvarga. A trap in Venthaven.
There are people on our side in Venthaven at the moment, so hopefully they're able to withstand whatever that is, but we don't have any intel on that.
He shrinks back down into his lumberjack form.
Yeah, I go back to looking like Tempari.
More little copper-haired gnome.
Sinan just stretches out his neck to get closer to them.
I need at least 12 hours to craft this weapon. You all should go. Go to Branshire and tell them I'm coming.
I think tactically that is the correct thing to do. We'll fly immediately. We'll take wing. From Branshire, we should head straight to Venthaven.
she's gonna run up to Metsukuma and kind of jump up and punch him on the shoulder or on the arm.
Yeah.
It's good to have you back.
It's good to see you, sister. And he reaches down and pulls you into a big hug and scratches his big burly beard all over your face. And you're miserable.
Huge dragons there.
This is why I hate that.
He turns to the rest of you, Halmak and Thalandor, to Timber and Kato. Hey, thanks for all that you did. We couldn't have done this without you, you know? I mean, really. I mean, yeah, we're dragons. I get that. But, you know, thank you. Thank you for coming. The truth is, if one of my brothers had showed up on the doorstep alone, I probably would have just slammed the door in their face. But it's good to see all of you taking interest in the world.
One more tactical piece. Thalandir, Kato, Timber, perhaps you should take Halmak and, I don't know, visit a place of worship of Pehor.
Yeah.
I would take him back to Pelor with you and have him check him out. I'm not sure what this other zap thing is, but probably not great.
It's time for an exorcism.
We could use your help looking at the group.
Well, Halmak, actually, if you're, are you going to be all right?
I feel fine. And then he realizes he's staring at four dragons.
Mm-hmm.
Well, three. Right now. Yeah. Drake and Kelly, and he kind of just, like, kneels awkwardly.
Thank the gods. I was afraid he was going to faint again.
Anytime now. He probably will.
I would hate to have to eat him.
Sure you would.
We could use all of you. We could use your help in the fight. I know that we promised you fat stacks, and you will get that, but we could use you in Branchar. We could use you in Branchar.
It'd be an honor to serve.
Timber takes a step forward and says, "You have my bow."
Very nice.
And my sickle.
And my short sword.
All right.
Yeah.
Mr. Messen Kuma, sir, if you would have it, I would love to learn from you, sir.
Well, I was going to say, why don't the rest of you, you ever ridden a dragon before?
No.
No.
It's not on my bingo card.
It's not on my to-do list, but...
Well, the rest of you, you go with Timpari and with Sinéan, meet back with Pelor. And perhaps, if you stick around, maybe we can shorten that 12 hours to like 11.5 with your contribution. Halmak. And yes, I'll teach you a few things, and maybe that'll be good. And then you can ride back with me.
Thank you so much, sir.
Don't go to sleep while you're here, though, because if you turn back into that zap thing, I'll have to bite your head off.
Zap thing?
Don't worry about it.
Oh, no.
And with that, I think we're going to end this very special episode of Make Believe Champions.
All right.
Wow.
You all follow me out. I think it's time for me to climb on my back so I can fly to Branchire.
Oh, dear God. Never again.
Now it's my turn to say we.
Yeah, right?
Wow. Well, that does it for this episode of Make Believe Champions.
How was that, guys? How was that?
Nice.
Wow.
Amazing.
That was so much fun.
What a game.
That was so much fun.
That was fun, guys.
That was cool.
What a twist.
My mind is officially blown.
Make Believe Champions 14, Journey of the Belly Touchers.
The Belly Touchers.
The Belly Touchers.
The Belly Brigade.
The Belly Brigade strikes again. Tune in next year for the sequel, The Belly Bandits. Hey, thank you guys for playing.
I was going to say Croissant Crew, but...
Croissant.
Thanks, Brady, Chaz, Luke, James. You guys are awesome. It was a great time playing with you guys.
No, you're awesome.
Thank you all.
You're awesome.
That was so much fun.
That was...
We love you guys. Thanks for tuning in. By the way, the next episode of Make Believe Heroes is... going to give some answers to some questions left in this one.
Oh, really?
I'm
excited.
Yeah. I'm excited.
I'm really afraid, actually.
Oh, man.
No, Vidrea! I was holding out.
Hey, after listening to this one, guys, I don't know if you know this, but after listening to this one, you will listen to episode 20, and then you will listen to something called The Ballad of Zerluin. We are close.
So good.
It's gonna be so bad.
No, what?
It's gonna be so bad.
So Venrea was evil all along.
Or was she?
It sounds like she was forced into it a little bit.
Yeah.
Hard to know.
It does. It did seem like that a little bit.
Yeah, that was something.
I want to know what happens.
Sounds like Zap is sad that he didn't get to kill a Draco.
So I'm very concerned with, because you said that when she disappeared, it was from a spell that didn't occur from there.
Yeah.
I'm concerned.
Well, yeah. I mean, the same thing was happening with Lunk. Blackfire was doing something.
I am confusion.
From a distance.
Remote magic.
Thank you all for listening. We love you. Goodbye.
Bye.
See ya.
Yeah, Paul, let me just shout it through my camera.
The White Lotus will bring you some.
It's the coffee. It's the coffee podcast.
It is the White Lotus podcast.
Coffee.
All right.
The White Lotus is so happy to be
here. Dear God, please, you have to. Okay, someone take the little White Lotus away from me.
Tell me why.
Ain't nothing but a heartache.
Good luck mixing that together, Paul.
I'm not going to. I'm just going to delete all
that.
No.
You know, when I was listening back to the second episode, I was wishing that I would have, whenever I met Leighton Tongues, I was wishing I would have touched his belly.
I'm glad you did. The belly touching thing.
Welcome to being able to listen to your old recordings.
He's not dead yet, so you still have an opportunity.
I got stupid beside myself laughing listening to that ridiculous trend. That exchange.
I think that is
not know
an excellent lesson in dealing with players in awkward situations.
I do not know why. I don't know why I was as funny as was, but when he said, "Can I touch my belly?"
Did you just touch my belly, soldier?
He's touching his belly.
And then we called him Belly Toucher.
Don't touch his belly. Belly Toucher.
Why are you touching my belly?
It's because he used the word belly. You know, like if all the words.
Belly is a funny word.
It's because he's got kids. You know, if Jeremy has kids. He's like, "I'll get your belly." I'm like, "Don't touch my belly." Oh God! I'm gonna get tickled again.
What if Sylvester has kids? You know?
Does he?
Oh, sweet Lord!
This
maybe
is the podcast where we touch Sylvester's belly.
Anyway,
also, is Sylvester immortal? We didn't unpack all of that from session one.
What do you mean,
one.
Sylvester immortal?
Sylvester is what immortal? Everyone wants to be.
Why are you saying it's Sylvester immortal?
Because he said that.
And I'm just like,
he's
just a moron. Sylvester is a one-eyed idiot.
He's the freaking lizard king.
Oh, right. It's a
with the White Lotus with you.
No.
You will
so
always...
you all go down the stairs.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about the White Lotus advantage.
Guys, are y'all just standing on top of the press?
That is correct.
This was not my choice. Wait a minute.
We want to be inside. We want to be a part of the weapon.
Maybe
we
should move out here a little bit, but, you know, just a little.
We want to be a part of the weapon. We're going to help my newbie.
Why are you standing on my table?
Sorry, I couldn't see down there.
Oh, gosh, it really got me.
Anyhow.
Everyone else was doing it, so I did it too.
I don't know how I ended up there, honestly.
Who dragged Halmak into there?
And he pulls a lever, and you hear a click.
Wrong lever!
And so...
Why do we even have that lever?
Who was that?
Brady.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
No, that was awesome.
I couldn't tell which one of you it was, but it got me real good.
That's good.
Why do we even have that lever?
Who's got a hold of my boy? Put my boy back where he goes. That is not yours.
That was me.
My boy! All right.
Okay.
Not my son!
The White Lotus will go first.
The White Lotus chose me. Okay.
I don't know what the White Lotus is.
It's from Avatar.
Wow.
I've been watching it a lot.
Jeremy?
Go ahead, Felicia. Let's do it.
Okay.
Avatar.
Get to it.
Are you guys talking about the blue people?
No. Last Airbender.
Oh, my goodness.
Jeremy.
Come on now.
So we kill Sylvester.
So if I move down, I might could hit the first flinkle with my short sword.
The first flinkle? Get out.
Is that what it says?
Get out.
I just went and named all
flinkle. I'm going to... Okay, you're fired. Get the heck out. Why does it let you? I want to know why D&D Beyond thinks it's okay for the players to control and rename the monsters.
I'm sorry. I did that forever ago.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So...
Well, the first flinkle is going to take an attack of opportunity. It's a natural 20. You took 476 damage.
Rickety Rex.
It's been a pleasure.
87 D8s.
I'm going to run up and I'll just hit this.
She's dashing at him.
Flinkle. Wait, you changed his name.
No, you changed her name.
Now.
Attack it. Roll me a D20.
Its name's Rob. Robbie the Sheath.
Actually, no.
Rob.
It's Roberto.
There we go.
It's Roberto.
Hey, guys, it's me.
Oh, my god!
Back from the dead. No, it's not him. It's not Roberto. It's not that Roberto.
Like an orange copper?
Just a copper.
The orange Drake on Kelly. Oh, my god.
Imagine if it was Felicia.
It made an appearance.
Dude, can you imagine what Shireya would do if Felicia was the orange Drake on
That'd been awesome.
Brady, have you listened to the My Little Pony episode, though?
Guys, it's here.
You don't have to keep up the act anymore.
You don't have to talk like Batman. You can just talk like yourself.
I'm Batman.
Watch out for these hockey pads.
Did anyone bring popcorn?
The White Lotus.
Is there any more? Can we just keep that out of the way?
And then zap.
The yellow dragon.
Everyone just turns into a dragon.
The yellow dragon appears. No, this is it.
It is because the White Lotus.
God,
please.
I run up and touch Sinéan's belly.
Balador runs up and touches Sinéan's belly.
Yeah, everyone on Sinéan's back.
Why is he touching his belly?
He's terrified.
Why are you touching my belly?
Everyone on Sinéan's back just goes, wee.
The belly brigade.
Yeah, Timpari doesn't even turn into dragon. She just gets on Sinéan's. No, I'm just kidding. She's just like,
do that way.
Like,
as a dragon.
Flight, she gets excited and changes into a dragon.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
And at that moment, Kato's wings. Fly out of his back. Orange wings come out of Kato's back. Just
oh no, you're fired.
Kato is the orange drink from Kelly.
Game over.
Nah.
Why are you touching his belly?
Fantastic.
I'm the belly man.
Gosh.
You best believe it.
And then Paul's like, yeah, Marlo, tell everybody something. Tell Sylvester something about each person.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's belly guy.
That's belly guy.
That's tree guy.
He likes touching bellies. All right.
Book guy.
Tree guy, bow guy.
Local book guy here.